Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In June, the radio station that carries my program in New Jersey sponsored a two-day conference in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, called Bridgefest. I was asked to speak at the open-air pavilion, and in order for you to hear this message, I am recording it in my studio. Because recording conditions in open-air spaces are usually horrible. In that 25-minute message, I promised to answer a very deep and perplexing question. And that is, why is America in a continual state of moral decline? A perpetual apostasy? And the text to begin with is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. The answer to this question, why America is in a continual state of moral decline, is not simple. And there are enormous ramifications as to how you answer the question. But before I even begin to answer the question, the premise has to be defended. Because you will run into some people who say that America is no worse today than in the past. In the wild, wild west, there was financial corruption, saloons, prostitution. People have always been immoral, and there has always been corruption in politics. One popular conservative talk show host, I won't mention his name, likes to make the point that it's a myth that America is in the midst of an irreversible moral decline. Quote, worried moralists have railed against corruption, sinfulness, and the end of the American civilization since the beginning of the American civilization, unquote. So it's a story of Chicken Little revisited. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. But in the case of America, I would agree with Chicken Little. This is not alarmism. There has been a fundamental moral decline in America. In the 19th century, all colleges in America used to teach and promote Christianity, but in the 20th century, it was replaced with secular humanism. The teaching of Christianity has been outlawed in public schools. Statistics in crime, immorality, pornography, divorce, broken homes have all gone up. Test scores and birth rates have gone down. We've murdered 60 million children through abortion over the last 50 years. Moral laws have been discarded and our legal system no longer believes in God's natural law. There are gay pride parades in every major U.S. city. And the federal government has taken a big brother approach to governance. And nations do go into moral decline, as in the case of ancient Israel. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5. Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. And so the scriptures teach in Psalm 9, 17, the wicked will be turned to hell and all nations that forget God. There are nations that forget God. The moral condition of Germany under Hitler in 1935 was not the same as the moral conditions under Martin Luther in 1535. I believe a case can be made that America, even the entire Western world, is in the state of apostasy. But the question is why? And I must take a moment to defend the question. Because I'm sure there will be some who will say the question is too esoteric. Who cares why? We just need to fix the problem. But the question of why is crucial because how you answer the question determines how you go about fixing the problem. A physician must first determine the cause of an illness before he can prescribe a cure. And the cause really does affect how Christian leaders and teachers approach the American apostasy problem. If you see America's decline as being caused by Darwinism, or a wrong cosmology, the solution will be the teaching of creationism. If you see America's decline as being caused by the failure to follow the Constitution, then you will embark on a campaign to teach people the Constitution, as do many Tea Parties. If you see America's decline as being caused by the growth of socialism, your solution will be to promote economic free enterprise. As is often said, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So let me begin by listing a few reasons that are put forth for the moral decline of America. And I hope this mental exercise will help lead you to the truth. First, the simplistic answer is that America is in moral decline because people are sinners. Well, of course. But people were sinners in 1735. But at that time, America experienced a great spiritual awakening. People were sinners in the ancient Roman Empire. But the early church conquered Rome. Something else must be going on here. A second reason. Maybe there's a conspiracy. And there are a number of books and videos that attribute the fall of America to a secretive group of communist operatives who implemented a multi-point plan to infiltrate education and politics in America. And in the same vein, the success of the LGBT movement was due to their well-orchestrated plan for taking over America. And so this theory implies that the secularists won because they worked a better plan than the Christians. But there are always ungodly people with plans. The question is, why was the ungodly agenda so readily accepted by the American public? Why didn't the Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, Great Commission plan of the church, grab the attention of the American people? A third possible reason. America's moral decline is due to evil being uniquely empowered in the 20th century. First, by wealth. We became spoiled by our prosperity, and we no longer needed God. As a famous Puritan preacher, Cotton Mather, once wrote, "Christianity begot prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother." But should we be teaching that spirituality is a function of wealth, so that poor people become spiritual and rich people become unspiritual? Is poverty a way to have revival? Do people only turn to God for wealth? A second empowerment, technology. Never before has such evil been so easily brought into the homes of average Americans. Adultery, violence, pornography. And this is something the world has never seen before. So that maybe it's the TV, the internet, gaming that has corrupted the American mind. But these things are merely tools that can be used for good or for evil. The question is, why did Americans choose to use these tools for evil? Third, there is empowerment by automation. No longer do most people have to work by the sweat of their brow. The curse of Genesis. Americans live a life of leisure like no other people in history. And that's not good for the soul. Labor is necessary to one's spiritual well-being. Psalms 107:12, he humbled their hearts with labor. Fourth, empowerment of evil by government. And the theory here is that Christianity could have competed and won on a level playing field. But the secularists cheated by expelling the Christian religion from public schools and by funding the religion of secularism in higher education. And if the liberal left did not have federal funding to pursue their agenda, they could not survive in the marketplace of ideas. As Vladimir Lenin once said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seeds I have sown will never be uprooted." You see, as the schools go, so go the nation. Plus, there's the empowerment of evil by government control. We are warned in the Bible of the dangers of Big Brother, global government. God divided up the nations at the Tower of Babel so that evil could not be consolidated and empowered. Another reason put forth for the decline of America is that America was built upon the wrong foundation. Our Constitution was not like the earlier covenants in the 1600s, where God and the Bible were referenced. By 1787, in the formation of our current Constitution, the secular Enlightenment was well underway, and our Constitution was a godless document. So the seeds of our destruction were already sown. Another reason might be the breakdown of the family. Once a family structure was disrupted by divorce, that resulted in not only a failure to pass down the values of the previous generation, but the younger generation despising the values of their parents. But which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did divorce produce moral decline, or did moral decline produce divorce? Then there is a whole list of theological religious arguments for the decline of America, such as some attribute the moral decline to a change in theological emphasis from reform theology to dispensational theology, that this resulted in overemphasis on the rapture of the church and Christians abandoned their social responsibilities. I don't believe this is true, but the theory is circulated. Another theological reason is that the church has failed. It's all up to the believers, so the decline of America is the fault of the pulpits and the pews. This idea comes from taking 2 Chronicles 7:14 and working backwards. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. So therefore, if the land is not healed, the fault has to be that God's people did not humble themselves and pray. And so America's decline is the fault of the church. There are many Christian leaders today blaming the lostness of the lost on the church. So you get the idea here. There are all sorts of interesting theories attempting to explain the moral decline of America. And don't misunderstand, some of these are contributing factors. But there is a difference between primary causation and secondary causation. We want to know, what is the primary cause? Is there any New Testament text that tells us the answer? Is there any prophecy in Scripture that explains to us what's happening? There is. But I first have to share with you two supporting truths. Like giving you the legs of a table before I can give you the top. The two supporting truths are the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of God's sovereignty. First, the doctrine of sin. What is the fallen condition of mankind? Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, with their tongues they keep deceiving, the poison of asses under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You can't fully understand or analyze this world unless you understand human depravity. And as a corollary, have truly born-again Christians ever been in a majority? No. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be who find it. Now in colonial America, 90% of the population was Protestant. But what percentage was truly born again? Even if it was as high as 25%, it was still not the majority. Christians have never gained authority by having a majority rule. Therefore, the real question is not why has America declined morally, but how could it be that America ever inclined morally? Were the Christians in the 17th and the 18th century super Christians? I don't think so. Do you think the Christians in the early church Christianized Rome because they were super spiritual? Read church history. The early church was in a bigger mess than the 20th century church. For some unknown reason, in certain centuries, the majority of unbelievers submitted to the general law of God and to the teaching of God's people. Now the second truth to consider, the doctrine of God's sovereignty. Peter draws the sword, and Jesus says, put away the sword. And says to Peter, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Sennacherib, the Assyrian, came against King Hezekiah with an army of 185,000 men. That night, the angel of the Lord struck down the entire army, and God's people won. In the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar boasts that he has built his kingdom, and the Lord removes his hand from Nebuchadnezzar's mind, and for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar eats grass like an animal. Even Satan needed permission from God to inspire the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans to attack Job. Do you think good men are in the place of power merely because of Christian lobbying efforts? Or bad leadership is in place because of the efforts of the ungodly? No, it is God who controls the spiritual thermostat of this world. Every ungodly judge or politician could not have walked out of the door this morning, or could never have had the motivation to come to power if it was not for God's permission. If God wanted the unsaved in America to outwardly obey his laws, he could make it so whenever he desires. He could simply strike down every evil leader and exalt a few good men. Christians must grow to appreciate that God sovereignly hinders sin and sinners, and he causes unsaved people to acquiesce to Christian values, even if the unbelievers make up a 99% majority. And I believe what we've seen over the last 2,000 years in the church age is God's restraint. But God has a different plan for the end of the age. And now we come to the prophetic answer explaining the moral decline of America and the entire Western world. It is the great apostasy prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2. The apostasy must come first, then the man of sin is revealed. The word apostasy refers to a worldwide rebellion against God. And this is what we're seeing. Western nations are throwing off Christianity and God's natural law as fast as they possibly can. And they are embracing the new religion of humanism and the concept of the secular state. The Thessalonican text gives us two reasons for this apostasy. And it's not that Satan and his people have worked a better plan. First, God deliberately removes his hand of restraint off of unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6-8, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed. And this implies that in previous years, all of the moral sensibilities of unbelievers was not due to their innate goodness, but to God's supernatural restraint. And in order for lawlessness and the man of lawlessness to be let loose, God has to remove his restraint. And the mistake has been to view this prophecy as if it's teaching that God removes his restraint on day one of the seven-year tribulation. But you don't find that assumption in the text. It's more likely that the world is allowed to slip into apostasy over a generation in order for the man of lawlessness to be empowered. Now, the second event is that God sends a strong delusion. The first cause or event is passive. God removes his restraint. The second cause is active. God sends a strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Now, there's no time to fully explain the theology here. But practically, it will seem as if the world has gone insane. The new normal will be wrong is right and right is wrong. Facebook provides 56 varieties of gender that you can choose from. And yet Christians are being called weirdos and out of touch. Last month, Bob Knight with the Washington Times wrote an editorial. He writes, I opened the front door the other day and my daughter walked in exclaiming, has everyone taken crazy pills? The Bruce Jenner thing had sent her over the edge, but even more, the comments all over the web and Facebook from people who are going along with this fiction on the grounds that to not do so is somehow ignorant or mean. In the Pixar movie Toy Story, Mr. Potato Head asks, have you all taken stupid pills? See, I know these things because I'm a parent. That line illustrates for me 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Now the question is, why is God doing this at the end of the age? Well, as it says in Revelation 3:10, this is the time of testing that will come upon the whole world. God is allowing the true nature of man to be showcased. And God is using this to purify the bride, the church, before his second coming. So at this time, all I want you to do is consider. Just consider the possibility that we are living in a special administration of God. No, this doesn't change our work of evangelism or our work of discipleship, but it does give us peace and frees us from guilt and silly explanations. I would like to close with a story I read recently in World Magazine. It was a story about the Christian church in Cambodia. Back in the 1970s, the communist Khmer Rouge brutalized the entire country. 1.7 million Cambodians were put to death by the Red Communists. A Christian man by the name of Radha Manikam shares the testimony that he decided that the only way forward was to commit suicide. He was down to 90 pounds, lost all hope, and he was sitting on top of a termite hill in northern Cambodia. And he began to sing an English song that he had learned from the missionaries. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. He knew that by singing an English hymn aloud, the communist patrols would shoot him instantly and put him out of his misery, which was his plan. And just as he expected, they appeared, demanding to know what he was singing. But he heard a voice of the Lord saying to him, I still have a plan for your life. So he told them nothing and they let him go. Today he ministers to the Christian church in Cambodia, 150,000 strong. God has a special ministry for each one of us during this special administration of God. You were born to live for this day. And just as many people can be reached for Christ, whether we are living in the day of evil or living in a day of peace. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one in any way deceive you, for the day of the Lord will not come until the apostasy comes first. May God bless you as you grow in faith and knowledge. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. You can listen to this program again or other past programs at godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for making God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, give your people knowledge of your will. Help us to be busy in the Father's work. Even as we see these things coming to pass, and we lift up our eyes for our redemption is drawing near. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask. Amen.